Welcome to all of you to this Sunday morning worship service. It is good to see that you have been able to come and to join us. I see my aunt and uncle here from Boisevain, and my mother is here from Boisevain as well. So it's good to see you here and good to have you be here among us. Are there other visitors here who we need to acknowledge this morning? Others? Everybody knows each other? Let's stand. Let's welcome each other here. Let's greet each other. Just a few announcements for this morning. Congratulations and God's blessings to Jerry and Cassie on the birth of a daughter. This is the flowers. Yes. Are they here somewhere? Where are you guys? Oh, there. Yes. Okay. How is Judah doing? Okay. I just remember when our daughter was born, our eldest son looked at her for about 20 seconds, and then he had enough. He wasn't the least bit interested. She's just in my way, and she's taking the time and attention, so let's not spend a lot of time there. It's good to see Dave and Erica back. Welcome back. You from your long trip, and I heard that you got home around 2:30 and were wide awake. Yes, not surprising. Good to see you back. We'll get into that later. Good to hear about Tenley's ability to go to school, to have energy for the day, to be able to eat, and sometimes food tastes a little weird. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but it's good to see you here this morning, and we'll spend some more time with that later. Just an announcement from Eric. If there's any outstanding congregational pastoral review forms, please hand them in. We still have time to hand those in, so hand them in to Eric or to Marlon. I think you can do that online as well. We're still looking, and there's still time to hand those in. Other announcements. There's graduation services going on at Providence and CMU today. There are a number of fundraising events, everything from spring tea and bake sales to Faith and Life men's and women's choir programs coming up, anniversary events, and other items going on as well. A few that aren't in the bulletin, Ray Peters is still taking pictures for our updated church directory. He is here this morning as well. If you have not taken your picture yet and would like to do that this morning, he is here after church for as long as it takes, and it doesn't take him very long to go through a number of people. So line up downstairs, and he'll take your picture. Our new piano has come, and it's I guess it's fairly visible, yeah? Yeah. Thanks to Rod and Ange for the work that they spent and time they spent hunting this thing down, and we actually got it moved here from Brandon, and we moved it in this week. Two guys. They didn't want much help, so they've done this a lot of times before. One word of caution from the movers: if you're going to move this thing, don't slide it on the rug because the legs are meant to support it, but they will break if you move it. That thing is about 1,100 pounds, and if you move it on the rug, it will simply dig in and the legs will snap off. So you need to lift and then move it. Let's get 3-4 people doing that, but don't, but don't move it the way it is. And they had other suggestions for us that we're going to take up with the music committee yet, and we'll figure out where we need to put this thing yet, and we'll get it figured out yet. But for now, it's here. It's good to have it here. Also, there was a number of people who were involved in helping, I think a number of ministerial members, helping to set up what our church's response was to Salem's request that we would state our position regarding doctor-assisted suicide. They needed to come up with a position because of the change in legislation. So we gave them input on our behalf about that, and they were requesting that from all the supporting churches that make up the Salem Governing Board. They have worked hard at compiling all of that, putting that all together. A number of us have also been helping them to put the final draft of that together. They have sent that out to the churches. We have copies of that, and they're asking us to sign it and then to send a copy of that signed signature back to them so they have that on their records. If any of you would like to see a copy of that, I'm just mentioning this, if any of you want to see a copy of that, I have copies of that available if anyone would want to take a look. This is what Salem's policy is in regards to this topic, and you're welcome to take a look at it if you would choose. Please just ask me about it, and I'll get you a copy to it. Are there other announcements that we need to make this morning? Okay, Kristen.
Just an announcement for the junior youth girls. The bulletin says we're meeting at 7 at my place, but it's actually 6:30, so if you could meet at my place at 6:30 and dress warmly. Thank you.
And for the junior youth boys, we're going to be meeting at 6:30 at the Blumenort youth hut.
For our call to worship, it is noteworthy that from the beginning of time, all the way back to the story of Genesis, God has been consistent about giving people a choice about how they want to live their lives. Adam and Eve were given that choice, as was Cain in regards to his brother Abel, as did a host of other biblical characters. Sometimes they chose wisely, sometimes not. That same choice comes to us represented by the words found in our text in Psalm 1. This psalm sets the tone for the entire 150 chapters, and always the question is, will we live in God's world on God's terms or according to our own? The choice is serious, worthy of genuine reflection, for it will affect the pattern of our lives from now into all eternity. We gather to worship a God who creates in favor of life. We gather to worship and give thanks for God's care for us, to acknowledge the invitation placed before us daily to live life abundantly in Him, and to renew our desire to honor the commitments that we make, which are in keeping with God's design for our lives and for our world. Let's bow to pray. Thank you, Lord, for being a life-giving God to whom we can entrust our physical and spiritual lives. Help us to acknowledge your presence within and among us this morning. Amen.
When I found out from Walter what the topic of the message was going to be and where his thinking was going, walking with God, it becomes, rather than narrowing it down what kind of songs you're going to look for, that actually just almost confuses it, because how many of them don't talk about our walk with God? Like, it's just such a broad topic that, so you just kind of, no, I did a little more homework than that on discussing. But it's a tough choice to find some good songs, to find songs that you think will speak to that. But I have chosen some, mostly out of the hymnal. I have chosen one out of the new hymnal. But we're going to sing these as we reflect on our walk with God. What does that look like? Where are you at? In my Sunday school lesson, I did a three-legged race thing with our kids, and I said, now imagine that it's you and Jesus with duct tape. Would you walk where you're going today, tomorrow, yesterday, if you were duct tape to Jesus that way? Or would that change what we look at and what we do and what we say and what we think? Just a comment that I wrestled with this week and a thought that I wrestled with this week. Number 581 in your hymnal, I am thine, O Lord. We'll start off with that one. And please stand. I think this next one will also be quite familiar. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Let's listen to the words.
Thank you.
want to invite the ushers to take this morning's offering, and Raven will play for us, please. For this morning's prayer time, I have checked with Jamie and Cody Falk about their willingness to allow us as a congregation to publicly support them in prayer. In every parent's journey with a child who struggles with health issues, there are ups and downs, there's times of joy and triumph and progress, as well as times of setback, disappointments, and grief. In our continued walking with God, when we sign up for that, when we agree to give God lots of room in our hearts and in our minds, we do so, knowing that life's road can be unpredictable, as unexpected events threaten to consume our energy and rob us of our focus. Yet the one constant in all that we encounter is that we are not alone. God is in this with us for the long haul, over the long haul. And also, we as a community of faith commit to be there for one another over the long haul. So this morning, we would like to symbolically affirm this by having Jamie and Cody come up with their family. We want to be sensitive to how fragile Tenley's immune system is right now. And I've asked if they would want to stand right at the front of the stairs. And we can surround them on the stairs and up on the platform here and do it that way. Let us, through prayer, encourage one another. Let us demonstrate our love and commitment to one another and our continued faith in the One who is ever faithful, ever true. I would invite Jamie and Cody to come, and I would invite the rest of us to come. Let's support each other in prayer, and let's do this before our great God. Jamie has asked for an opportunity to say a few words before we begin our prayer time. Please.
There's a lot of things that we could say, obviously, about what we're all going through and what's happening. But right now, I just want to say thank you for the meals. There have been a lot of meals, probably from a lot of people right around us here, a lot of giving. Something like that, it's amazing. Your mind just can't get into the normal mode of cooking a meal, folding laundry. It's just not there. So that's been a huge help to us. It may be a little thing to you, but for us, we feel like we take and take right now. But we appreciate it. All the notes, the texts, the physical letters. It's hard to talk to you guys. A lot of you are crying back at me, and that's hard. We need that encouragement. And often they come, like even now we've had a few that have come through the mail when it gets really hard, right? Sometimes it's almost the, it's such a big thing right at the beginning, right? It's such big news, and then people move on. Other tragic stories happen, but ours hasn't finished yet. We keep going on this walk with her. So we're so thankful for your encouragement, the Bible verses, songs people have sent, because we keep going back to them. And we pull from those on the days that that we don't have a lot left, and we're thankful. This one is so encouraged, right, for all your letters you get and the pictures from Sunday school. They're very important. We have a big folder full of all these papers, and they often get dragged out to the living room and lined up, and we go through them, and, Mom, what does this one say? And, oh, yeah, they miss me, and it's just very positive, and it's encouraging, isn't it? So we just want to say thank you from the very bottom of our hearts. Our care group particularly, you have been so, so willing to help us out. We're thankful.
Thank you, Jamie. I'm going to do as we have done before. I'm going to simply start at this end, and whoever would like to pray, invite you to pray to pass the mic on to the next people, and we'll simply go around and take our time to do that. Let's bow to pray. Does someone want to begin at this end here?
Father, thank you so much for this family that is just willing to just go after you in this time and just to earnestly seek you and just ask the hard questions. Father, we just ask that you just comfort them and you just wrap your arms around them every day more and more, and you just show them what it means to just love you in all times when it's really hard. We just ask that you be with Tenley as she just, she just continues to get better and she just continues to just seek you.
Father, thank you for this precious family. Thank you for four beautiful girls. We ask, Lord, that you would help all four to always feel very assured that they are loved and treasured by you, by their family, and by us, and so many. Father, we ask for your healing hand on Tenley, complete healing for her. And we ask that you would jealously protect Jamie and Cody's marriage, that they would cling to one another and to you.
Thank you for this family that is bold enough to come before you and your children, this church. Thank you for their commitment to you. Keep them strong. May we be faithful in upholding them.
I thank you, God, also for this family and their example of faithfulness, their example of walking with you through the thick and thins of life. Thank you for their faithfulness, for their courage, for their strength, for their model. We ask an experience. We ask in a special way a huge blessing on them of your healing hand, your touch, your showing yourself to them in every which way to remind them that you are still God and you will take care of them.
Lord, I also thank you for their support systems. I thank you for the parents, the grandparents, the aunts and uncles and care groups and special people that you have put in their paths to hold them on the very difficult days, Lord, and just continue to guide them and help them to be open to the Spirit on how to best support, when best to call, and how just to uphold this precious family.
Dear God, thank you so much for this beautiful family, and I thank you so much for the four beautiful princesses I get to babysit and love all the time. And I pray that you're with Tenley as she goes through this really tough time, and that you're with Jamie and Cody as they learn to walk on this journey with her.
God, may the joy of the Lord continue to be their strength.
Father God, you are always good, and we are always loved. I thank you for the reassurance of that daily. And I pray, God, that you would show yourself real to Jamie, Cody, each one of the girls, Father, in each of their own journeys that you've asked them to come. God, I ask that you would jealously protect their hearts, that they would see you as being faithful and that they could be faithful to what you've asked them to do. God, I pray that you would pour on an extra measure of your faith, your faithfulness, your grace, and your love on them. When their hearts hurt past being able to express themselves, Father God, I pray that you would hold them gently and continue to show yourself to them. Help us as a church, God, to continue to support them, to be there for them, to do what we can in this journey. Thank you.
Father, I pray that you would fill each one of them with your truth, the truth about your love for them. May they never forget that or doubt it. Also pray for your protection over their health, over the health of each family member, that no infection might be brought to anyone who's vulnerable.
Father, we thank you that we've seen you answer prayers here. Our prayers, we see that Tenley's going to school, and we see that you've been with each of the other kids as we've prayed for them. We've seen you active in Cody and Jamie. And now as we pray for more, Father, we wait in expectation that you will answer these prayers. And we pray that your Spirit would fill their home, that there's no room for anything but the grace for each other that they will need, the understanding for each other's situation and needs, and the ability to step into those needs as you give strength. Father, we trust you to just fill them and their home with this, and to continue to bring healing, Father.
Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you love them with an everlasting love. I pray that you'll put your arms around them and continue to guide, uphold, and keep them, and pray for healing and strength.
Heavenly Father, we pray for strength and courage and wisdom for Cody and Jamie as they continue to face each day. Some days are good, some days are not so good, but may they feel your presence each day, and may you continually be with them, and may we continue to uphold them in our prayers as well.
We give you thanks, God, for the prayers of your people. We give you thanks that you hear us when we pray. And we give you thanks that we can approach your throne of grace with boldness to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Lord, may these prayers that we have spoken be that which you would will for them, for Cody and Jamie and their family, for each and every day. And we give you thanks that you are our God. May the Lord bless you and keep you today and always. Amen. Kirsten is not able to be here this morning, so I'm going to invite Jake to continue with worship and song.
The next song is I'm Pressing on the Upward Way as we continue our walk with Jesus. Number 582, please, in the hymnal. 582. This next one is a bit of a new one, or at least I should say, for me, it's a completely new one. I like the title, though, or the words in it. Seek ye first the kingdom. Number 200 in your hymnal. Let's see if we can sing this one. It's a fairly simple melody. For those of you who know it, give her.
Yeah. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Good morning. I don't know exactly why this topic of walking with God was so impressed upon me to discuss. It seems like such a broad topic, but the more I thought about it, the more intrigued I became. I started thinking about the term used when we say walking with someone. First, if we said that a person really walks with God, it means a way of life or a pattern of conduct. If we say you are walking with someone, if we say we are walking with someone, it means to become involved in someone's life in order to understand what is happening, to become involved emotionally and practically. This walking with someone takes time and energy. It is a willful decision and a commitment to somebody other than yourself. Imagine that a casual friend calls you on the phone, the kind of friend that only calls you up whenever they need something, and wants to meet and go for a walk. A few things go through your mind as you formulate some kind of response, and you think to yourself, does he really want to go for a walk, or does he just want to borrow something? I'm too busy for this. Or you may think I'm too busy for this, as you are slouching in your favorite chair. Or you say, I'm too tired for this. Or why does he want to go for a walk anyway? Does he think I need the exercise? What does he really mean when he says he wants to go for a walk? Does he want to talk about something personal? Like, what if he asks me something I'm not comfortable talking about? Doesn't he know I'm a private person? Some of these things flash through your mind in a few milliseconds, and you respond to your friend, no, not right now. Maybe some other time. Thanks for the invite, though. And you hang up feeling a bit cheap, knowing that your friend probably had something legitimate on his mind. Maybe it was a hard thing he was going through, and he was willing to share it with you. The worst part was that you didn't even have a real reason not to listen to him. Oh well, maybe there's something good on TV. Your friend calls up a few days later and asks you again if you wanted to go for a walk, or could he set up a time to go for a walk? It seems that you're at a decision time, whether or not you're going to make a commitment to become involved with this person's life. It looks like you have to decide whether or not you are going to take the time and walk with him. Before we go further with this little story, let's look at a few people and see what kind of walk they had, or we could say what kind of life they led. Let's look at some characters in the Bible that we know. What do we know about a man named Noah? We know that he lived in a time period where much of the world was wicked and not following God. I'm just going to read a few verses from Genesis 6, 5 to 9. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. He was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. What does that mean? In the beginning of chapter 7, it states that God also found him righteous in this generation. It seems that Noah was a bit countercultural. a bit of an odd fit in the society of the day, and in fact so odd that God thought that his life and the lives of his family were the only family worth saving. And just in the previous chapter, it talks about Enoch, who walked with God as well. He not only walked with God, he was taken from this earth without dying by God. What did Noah and Enoch have, or do, or believe that made them qualified to walk with God? And there was Abram, or later called Abraham, whom God called to be blameless and walk before him. That's Genesis 17. It helps us to understand a little what it means to walk with God in Judges 2:17. And at the last part of that verse, it says, kind of taking out of context here, but it says, unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked, which is the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. So if we obey the Lord's commands in our everyday living, we would be able to say that we walk with God. What about the people that are not walking with God? What does that look like? When I read in the Bible in the Chronicles of the Old Testament, we read of the many kings of Judah and Israel. And whenever one is introduced, it usually states whether the person did right in the eyes of the Lord or did evil in the eyes of the Lord. For example, 2 Chronicles 33, it reads, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And it goes on with how he did this evil. Then, moving on to the next chapter, the beginning of chapter 34, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. It never says that these guys, the ones that did right in the eyes of the Lord, were perfect or without fault. It just states how they lived and how they were remembered. Living in obedience with God requires one to be repentant as well as following his commands. We can all look back and we can read about the walks of different people like Winston Churchill, Queen Victoria, Stalin, Hitler, Paul, Silas, Jesus. We can learn from people and the legacy they leave. Most people do not realize the effect that they have on forming the events of time while they are alive. We can see the effects of past decisions, both positive and negative. So what about our own walk with this life? Have we got it all figured out? Or are we stumbling about going here and there or trying to satisfy everyone all the time and getting nowhere fast? Maybe the path would look something like this. Are we even on a path at all? Is there a sign that tells us in the direction we are going? It would seem kind of silly to go on a trip with a vehicle and not know where you're going, turning at every road you think is the best one, not knowing or even caring where you end up, not knowing how much time you have to be on this trip, or not even asking for directions or have any in mind. Some people live like this. There is no direction or desire for direction in the bumbling through life. This path, if you want to call it one, is exhausting and unfilling, and one becomes burnt out quite quickly. Don't you need to know where you are before you know where you're going? Maybe the path you are on is one of having to decide which way you want to go. You know you need to make a decision, but are having difficult deciding. Maybe the unknowns around the corner are prohibiting you from even moving at all. You want to know the outcome before you move. Sometimes this indecision is caused by fear, or sometimes it's sheer exhaustion and you just want to sit and rest and have someone else make the decision for you. I'm sure many of you have been in this position. What did you do then? Pray? Maybe seek advice from a friend? Or maybe did a bit more thinking or studying about the implications of making one choice or the other? Or maybe you have heard what is down both paths, and so you know which one is the right one or better one. This type of path can involve decisions like relationships, business decisions, which courses to take, which job to work, what you believe. Maybe it is just what to decide to make for lunch. There are many decisions one makes every day Just some have a more long-term impact. Some have eternal impact. One thing we do know, we don't want to just stay at this spot of indecision forever. Maybe the path you are on looks something like this. For some, this type of path is exhilarating and a rush and an adventure and a place to be. Living on the edge and not knowing for sure what is going to happen next. It is harder to get help on paths like this if you get into trouble. And it's always a good idea to let someone know that you trust when you go on places like this. Maybe there are better alternatives or options you have not considered. When walking down a path in life like this, you need to consider consequences a bit more carefully. A careless step or a careless action, word or deed, a poor decision can have consequences that are irreparable. Sometimes paths like this are necessary and need to be traveled. Sometimes one is forced to travel a path like this for a time. Not all life is smooth sailing and can get you in some pretty tight places. Extra prayer is certainly a good idea when walking on paths like this. Sometimes our path may look like this and aren't concerned with the consequences. Or maybe you just want to enjoy the view. Maybe you know you shouldn't go on a path that has certain dangers or temptations on it. You may have heard of the story of the path that we went on in Uganda several years ago that had some dangers that were unknown to us. At the orphanage, there was a field that was cultivated and planted to provide food for the children. There is a path from the buildings to the field that is about 300 yards through the scrub brush and tall grass. On one occasion, the orphanage farm manager was delayed and told me and the boys that he would meet us down at the field in a few minutes. So we went down to the path ahead of them to the field to start harvesting the beans. A few minutes later, the farm manager showed up with a freshly dead snake in his hands and asked which one of us stepped on the cobra and killed it. None of us even realized that we have even stepped on the snake. God was watching over us. But think, would it have been different if we knew ahead of time that the snake would have been on the path and that we would be encountering it? What precautions would we have taken? Would we have even gone down the path? I believe that we at times go down paths we know we shouldn't. And we know of the temptation or trap we will fall into. We play with danger, toy with temptation, and wonder why we get bit. Remorse and regret are often the result of deciding to go on this route. We need to get off these paths and flee temptation. Get away from the places that drag you into sin. Talk to someone about it. Pray hard. An accountability partner to check in and see how you're doing can be helpful. Then there are times when we do not know if we can move on in our journey. Life events that come our way can stop us in our tracks. A time to regroup, get support, advice, or just talk, or just someone to sit with us to help sort out life. Maybe a time of grieving from losing a relationship or losing a loved one. Sometimes you're too overwhelmed with the busyness of life that you just have to stop. You can't see ahead, or you just can't seem to see where you're going at all. It can take time to even move from this place in your life. And this isn't always a bad place to be, and it can be healthy to take time and sort things out. It can also be used as a crutch or an excuse to avoid facing decisions or circumstances. Once you get your bearings, some direction, you can move on. Have you ever been on a path like this? Remember Jonah and the decision he made? He was at a crossroads something like this. He had a decision to make, either to follow what God told him to do, or to choose a path he thought was easier, or at least his own decision of where he wanted to go, and we know how that turned out. It is when you know what you should do, but don't want to do the right thing. It's hard, or you don't have the energy or time. Why does it seem that everyone else has it a bit easier than me?
Why can't I just have a bit of space to breathe and take it easy for a time? You know what you should do or what path you should take, but you find yourself wishing there was an easier way out. Most times, this isn't a hard decision to make as to which one is right. Make a choice, the one you know is right, and keep going. Don't even let indecision start. Don't let justification or some rationale change your mind. Keep walking, because you know what is the right path. You have been given the correct directions and have read them yourself. And so there is nothing left to do but to obey. You may not be able to see what is a little further down this path, but you know it is the right one. You know in your heart when you consciously take the path that avoids what is right or wrong. How many of us have not heard of the path to salvation? That we must come to grips with who Jesus is and what he has done for us, accepted it, and believed it for ourselves. And we know the consequences of not acknowledging Jesus as Lord. Many do not know or have not heard of the right path or the right decisions to make when it comes to our eternity. Those of us that know this path well have the joy and the responsibility to ensure that God puts in our path that they know this as well. We need to seek out those that are lost and help them find their way. Do we love our neighbor enough to ensure that they have been given opportunity to hear and know about this Jesus we hold so dear, so that they can spend eternity in heaven rather than hell? Do we miss these opportunities sometimes simply because we don't have the time or too tired? What about our friend that we talked about earlier that wants to go for a walk? We know that it is not the walking part that is hindering us. It is the getting involved. Maybe this friend needs a bit of help or guidance on one of the paths that we looked at earlier. If God is nudging us and we know it, why would we want to miss the opportunity to do his work? Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Once we are on the right path with God and we are on our journey with him, what does it exactly mean to walk with God? Like the verse in our bulletin, Amos 3:3, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so?" Jake did a little demonstration with a three-legged walk in our Sunday school class, and he paired us up with people, and we had to walk around, and he timed us to see who could walk together. And then we talked about what are good qualities or characteristics that have two people walk together well in this race. What makes us walk well with God? Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? First of all, walking with God means to go in his direction. God's way is clearly marked. 1 John 2:6 says, "Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." And we know that God's way is always the best way. And walking with God means to proceed at God's pace. His pace is not to be confused with his purpose. God's purpose is deliberate and a determined one. Isaiah 46:11 says, "What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that will I do." God's pace varies at different times and for different reasons. Sometimes fast, sometimes slow, sometimes wait, like Abraham and Sarah. Walking with God means to make progress. Walking begins with the first step, salvation. Before we walk, we stand. Before we stand, we crawl. And before we crawl, we must be born. We must be born again. John 3:7. Then, in Acts, we read how the people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and prayer. Every day they met together, progress and growth. Walking together means walking with others. God intimately interacts with us because of love. God seeks those whom he can have relationship. With his love inside us, we can't help but have that love overflow to those around us, to help those in need on whatever path they are on. Remember Jeremiah 33:3? Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. He wants to talk with us. And walking with God means to arrive at a destination. He causes his children to reach their potential in life, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Of course, the final destination we arrive at is with him in glory, in heaven, for eternity. Have you ever read Psalm 23 with the different paths God shows us in mind? I want to read it with an emphasis on the different paths. First of all, it is God, the Good Shepherd, leading us, and we have everything we need. He leads us on paths to green pastures and quiet waters, or places that restore our soul. Every path he leads us on is the right one, even though the path is dreadfully dark and the shadow of death is present. He is with us, and we don't have to fear any evil. Knowing that he will correct us and protect us with his discipline gives us reassurance that he cares for us. Even when we are in the presence of enemies, he takes care of us and blesses us. Knowing this, we know that his goodness and love will be with us all of our lives, and in following his leading, his paths, we are able to be with him forever. Amen.
Number 577 as a hymn of response, When We Walk With the Lord. Please rise.
Trust and obey.
Let's pray. Lord God, whatever path we are on, whether steep, rocky, narrow, you are with us. Even the paths that we choose ourselves, your Spirit guides us back to the way you would have us go. Forgive us when we wander. You said that you would instruct us and teach us in the way we should go, and you would guide us and watch over us. Thank you for that. May we be bold in showing others that are lost and lead them the way to salvation, so that we all may be with you for eternity. Amen.